Okay, y'all. So, I'm gonna so the script, well, the scripture passage that I've been reading all week, and I was getting little nuggets as I, you know how sometimes you read and you get nuggets and you have to write them down, because if you don't write them down, then you will forget them. And so then I did my little research, went a little commentaries, you know, and reading, you know, even reading within that, he will give you nuggets. So pray that he will bring back those nuggets even as I go and read again, you know, read this stuff. I mean, read these scriptures again, these sacred scriptures again, not stuff, but sacred scriptures. So, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for everything that you've done for us this far, in Jesus' name. So, it's Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay. So I believe what led me to this point, like over the past like 2 or 3 weeks of everything that, you know, that has been going on, you know, in my family, and I'm going to, you know, so we get this out of the way. David, he wrote this song as a shepherd boy, and he wrote it, he wrote it as a shepherd who would think and feel So David writes as a sheep would think and feel about his shepherd. So it implies a profound yet practical working relationship between a person and the Creator, the Lord our Savior. Having a good standing of the life of a shepherd, he wrote this song from a perspective of a sheep. So basically, if I would explain it, he wrote it as a relationship as with us, with the Lord, as we're growing, as every day we transform into the image of Christ. If I would break it down to a more general understanding, I would say it's also a relationship between a saint and their pastor in the work of the Lord, growing, how our apostle covers us, leads us, guides us, trains us. You get that? Understand? Yeah. Looking. Okay. So that's the way I would break that down. So it breaks down basically relationship, one under the guidance of authority, if I would say it that way, of whoever fold they're under. So going back and forth. It says, so in this text, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And it show, and we think of our shepherd as someone who, a shepherd is one who leads and guides us and takes care of us to make sure that we're always, how could I explain it? To make sure that we're always being led in the right path. So they guide us, they lead us, they nurture us. They really like take good care of us and direct us in the ways that we should go. Yeah, and so it also says, right here in my face, and it says that a shepherd gathers the lambs in his arms and holds them close, close to his heart and in the fold of his garment. He leads those who are nursing and lays down his life and lays down his life for them. So again, as I was saying, so even when I think about this, our shepherd, even when we think about our creator God, you know, who made us, I mean, even Jesus, is that something that he did? He laid his life, you know, he laid his life down for us that we would always, you know which way to go, you know, and he always calls us close to his heart. That always shows that, you know, how mindful he is of us and, you know, and that he's always concerned about us. So even when we're going through hard and trying times, that we always know that, you know, God is mindful of us, that he's always there. And again, I'll refer back to his presence, you know, and there's nowhere that we can go that we can, you know, flee his presence. And it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So even when I was studying this, I did remember this because this was something that, you know, going through turmoil, you know, just going through different things, you know, things being hard, you know, having, you know, the past things, the deaths that happened in my family, with two deaths that happened in my family within 1 week, the other things about, you know, like my godson, my slash cousin, you know, got shot, you know, and, you know, all those things kind of try to, like, throw you off. So I think this is when this scripture here says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. And literally, it's almost like, you know, he leads and guides us to a place of rest. And he refreshes us in those places because when we abide in his presence, he brings about a peace upon us that surpasses all understanding. And what I'm saying there is the understanding of everything that's going on that's trying to deter you and take you out of the place of peace. And in that place, you know, when he leaves you into the place of rest, it gives you time to reflect on just how good he is, how that he's, whatever happened, like even when I was talking to Pastor Michelle, you know, not going, she said, you know, in the most traumatic times, he's there. So Jesus was there at the brim of a matter of life and death, either which way it would have turned out, Jesus is there in the small, in the big, in the good, and the bad. He is there. But one thing that I realize is that as long as we focus on his presence and abide in his presence, as far as, you know, reading his word, thinking back on him, talking to him, you know, just your little prayers, it gives you a place of rest. It gives you a place of peace. And when you're in a place of rest and when you're in a place of peace, that's where you can put your trust in. And, you know, I'm one to always say, trust in the one whom you believe. But sometimes when turmoil and things come up, it pushes you to a place if you don't train your mind to always think about him. Think on the things that are good, that are of good report. So when he leads us beside, you know, the plain, the still waters, in that rest of peace, we also grow and we surpass and come into the knowledge, and our anxiety, when it's up high, it goes low. Why? Because we're in a place of peace and we're trusting and believe that he's there and he's in charge of everything that's going on in our lives. So he, at that time, he refreshes our soul. He restores our emotions from high to low. He refreshes our desires, which is to remain calm, to remain, to be at peace instead of not of an unsurety. See, when we're in the presence of God, he regulates everything. Everything that's high, he brings it to a medium so that we can so that we can think on things that are good, that are just, that are a good report. And he leads us in the right path because he is a true and living God. And besides him, there is no other, a God who can love and care for us in the manner that he does. And so that goes there also. So when I was talking about that, it says, he restores my soul and lead me in the paths of righteousness. So it revives it and reinvigorates it when it is exhausted and weary. And which also paths of pleasantness and peace, to magnify his name as a gracious and merciful God. So he replenishes us, as I was saying, he restores us into what I said. Let me read it again. Pleasantness for his name's sake. And so when I think about that, it's that when we're in his, when everything is all haywired and we put ourselves, manifest his peace and his presence around us, when we stand in his presence, then the outcome which someone else would take, like being all irate and belligerent and undecisive and not understanding, like, I don't know what's going on, you know, this might go this way, and you won't be straggling the fence. It sets you at a steady pace of knowing and the assurity that you believe and trust in the God of your salvation. Because sometimes, I mean, yes, we are human. We do have emotions. You know, we do be a bit much. Can I say that? We do sometimes go over the top, like when news come, you know, we can go overboard. We can go, you know, sometimes we can act crazy. But since, you know, stand still, see the salvation of God, knowing that in the end you are victory and everything, all things work together for the good of you. So, and I said that he will bring us in our pleasantness. This is about, because, you know, people are watching us. If I may talk, people are watching us, because even the situation, you know, that happened, you know, everybody wants to talk about retaliation, but that's not for us. You know, you stand there, you know, you let God be God. You know, God, you don't take matters into your own hands. So you got a lot of people standing around talking about revenge, but it's always that one. You're going to stand in God's pleasantness and say that he is God and let him do what he's going to do. Because we also remember that God's justice does not look like our justice. So when we say, you know, God, you know, God will have justice, then you have to explain to people that don't understand that his justice is that he will touch someone's heart to let them realize, I've done wrong. Not get them for what they've done, because you did this, you're going to reap this. No, your reaping is that you will be sorrowful for the act that you committed that was wrong. And that is, what is that called? Have a conscience. So we will rest in his pleasantness in the middle of chaos. When everyone is seeking the wrong thing because of the God you serve, you can stand in peace and forgiveness and say, God will have justice, but the justice is that they will realize that you don't do the same as another would do, which is wrong. Two right, two wrongs don't make a right. That's what I'm trying to say. Two wrongs don't make a right. And so when we stand in his presence, like when we're in his presence, he regulates all of that. It's just like being in his presence and someone with a high blood pressure, you know, you're present and he regulates everything. So he regulates your emotions. He regulates your desires and he returns them and restores them into the place they're supposed to be. And that is in his peace and in his pleasantness, in his pleasantness. Okay. I got that. That his name may be magnified. Why? Because every day we're being transformed into the image of Christ. And what that does, as a good son, we represent our Father well. Okay? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Not much longer. Okay. And it's, ah, oh, okay. Oh, sorry. It went to the wrong one. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. And so it says a sudden transition and contrast. Such as David loved, the quiet paths of righteousness and peace remind the poet of the exact opposite, the dark and dismal way, the valley of the shadow of death. So what is the shadow of death? It is a place of being in distress when you're weary and when you're weak or surrounded by danger. And it said that, it says, even though such a situation says he does not fear, he will not fear, says, I will fear no evil, he says. And why? For thou art with me. And as we says that there is no place that we can go, that God is always in us. Why? Because he is the indwelling spirit, the hope of glory that resides inside of us. So we should have no fear. So when danger comes, we just stand still. When it surrounds us, we just stand still and believe in the God that we serve, that he is our peace, that he is our way maker, that we are victorious and that nothing that comes near us can harm us, that we stand in complete safety and protection in the face of danger. So that is the God that we trust in, and that he can turn everything around, and that there is nothing too hard for him. Almost done. Okay, so the same protection, the same protector, the same gracious and merciful God will still be with us, leading us, guiding our steps, shepherding us, and keeping us from all harm and evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. The shepherd's crook and the staff of defense, they comfort me. So I looked at, I was like, what is the rod and what is the staff? Now I really went like deep. I was thinking about this, and I almost remembered this because I really wanted to know what it was. And if I'm not mistaken, I think one time Pastor Apostle taught that to us, but I wouldn't know where to go back and find it. But it says that the rod conveys the concept of authority, power, discipline, and the defense of the sheep. So he's not and will not be fearful because the shepherd always holds us close to his heart. God always holds us close to his heart and the fold of his garment, and that he lays down his life for us. So he's not afraid because God's defense, God is our defense. He has all power, all authority over everything. There's nothing he doesn't have power over. So what? He's in charge of everything. And remember, Apostle Marcel said he's not in control because he gives us free will. So on that part, we get to pick and choose. But he holds all power, all authority, and all discipline. So when we're in his presence, what do? We don't have to worry about a thing because he's in charge of everything. And it says that, thy staff. So when I looked at his staff, it says it represents all that is long suffering and kind. So with his power and his authority and his long suffering and his kindness. And when I think about long suffering, I'm thinking about him waiting on us. It's not like it's a suffering, but he's waiting. It's long, and it's long because sometimes, you know, it takes us a while. Look, because we're a little hard-headed. So I believe, not saying that he suffered, Ms. Bardella, because I believe everything that you, but when I look at it, the long suffering that he has is that he's just waiting on us. It's no pain in it, but he's compassionate and he's kind. And he's patient, full of temperance. So that's what I got out of that. And I was like, you know, so we don't have to worry about that. So no matter where we are, he's going to always defend us. He's going to always, you know, defend us and lead and guide us. And, you know, and I think that little thing that is if we get too far. We can only go so long. Why? Because he'll take that little crook, that little thing at the end of the staff, and he'll pull us in, leading and guiding us, not yanking us, not, you know, fighting us down. But when he put that crook around our necks and we know it and we feel him drawing, we just turn about. Because why? He's only going to let us go so far. That's a good shepherd. So even when I think about that, the things and storms and stuff that rises up in our lives, and yes, sometimes it may hit us like a ton of bricks, and our first thought may have us, you know, just kind of wonder a little bit, because sometimes our first thoughts are like breathtaking. But when we are still and we stand in his presence and begin to acknowledge his, as Ms. Waddell says, acknowledge his presence around, and let that be a time that we do not dismiss his presence, but acknowledge that it is around. And that's when he's called. That's when he's coaching us back in into his peace. And we're surrounded by his understanding. Most done. And it says, the shepherd's crook and thy staff of defense, they comfort me. They make me feel that however long, however dreary the way through the dark veil, I shall still have thy guidance and thy protection. So no matter whatever dark place that we're in, we will always have his guidance and we will always have his protection. And it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Another transition, the danger of death in the past. David reverts to the thought of the tranquil, happiness, joyous time with God that God had granted him. He has adversaries indeed, but they are powerless to effect anything against them. They have to look on with ill-concealed annoyance at his prosperity to see his table spread. His condition, such as men generally envying his wealth, typical abundant oil, make us fat. Oil that mean make us fat, increase my head with oil, great his whole life to overflowing with blessedness. His cup runneth over. He declares it is not only full to the brim, but runs over the brim. And expensive metaphor indicates of a state blessed really experienced in this life. So basically what it's saying that even in his presence, David had enemies, and we'll all have people that may not be well pleased with us. Somebody that may not, you know, understand us and may not understand the way we think. I don't like to say jealous. I don't like to put out that negative stuff, but where there is someone out there that we may annoy because of our beliefs, and someone may not agree with you, but it's okay. It's okay for someone to think different. Would I say they're my enemies? No, they just don't understand. But even in the presence of people who do not understand you and do not want to see you, how would I say, do not want to see you grow and think that you're always to be in a low place in life, but God says that we are to live abundantly. Okay? So even with that, what it's saying is that he may not physically put a table in front of them, but they will see your growth. They will watch you, your prosperity, even in a little corner. So what they desire for you will not be at that low state, but in a high place, because God is our protector. He leads and guides us. And when we go too far, he pulls that little crook so he can guide us back, because we're not going to dismiss his presence. We're going to acknowledge his presence at all times and in all things. So we're able to come back and get up out of our feelings and realize I have a blessed life. And I'm happy to be here. May not have all the riches in the world, but I have him, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of who I am in Christ. Always conforming into the image of Christ. So my walk daily is being transformed into the kingdom. I am kingdom. I'm living out of kingdom. And though someone may not understand our ways, but he will always exalt us. Is that a bad word? Exalt. But he will always lift us higher. He will always bless us when we're already blessed, but he will always have us in a place to be marveled at. Does that sound better? Yes. I love it though. But you know, so even in our place of distress, and though we're walking through, you know, there are some people that cheer us on, and this is fact. Some people that cheer you on, some people that don't. But the ones that don't cheer you on, believe and trust in the fact that God is God, and he has no respect of persons. It's just if you're gonna be led by him, and when you go too far and you feel him with the crook, with that little crotchet thing, the little staff, just God just pulling at you and guiding you. All you got to do is come on, turn on back. Because what happened is that people's like, oh, they thought it was going this way. No, but it's another way. It's not always the way that people intend or think for it to be. And at this time, David is talking about David's enemies. And, you know, all, and David had faults. So what they're saying is probably his enemies. Yeah, he's going to fall. He's done too much. Everybody knew, you know, he wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. So what they thought was happening really didn't happen. All they saw him was always joyful, always growing, always in a new place. You got me? Okay. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As God's goodness and mercy have always followed us, there is no doubt that there will come a time to cling to him and There is no doubt to cling to him as our life continues. And David also said in Psalms 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. Such passages are, of course, not to be understood literally. They express the longing of the soul for a sense of the continual presence of God and a realization of a constant communion with him. So what I'm saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me go. Says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I said all that to say this, to trust in the God whom you serve. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Though at the lowest points of your life, he is always there. We just have to acknowledge his presence that is there. We always have to know that he abides in us. Greater is he that is in us than he is who is in the world, who has no reign and no power and no authority over our lives. And surely goodness and mercy will always follow us all the days of our lives. Why will goodness and mercy follow us? Because he is in us, and it is always with him. It is him. And I'm done. Yes.